Well, glory to God, hallelujah. Welcome to a study in the Word.
Been a while.
Been a little while. I went to a kind of I went through a major appendicitis deal. It's kind of weird. So, been out a little while. I'm still moving a little slow, but praise God, the Word's working mightily
Amen.
In me.
Praise God.
And I'm on the mend, so back to the Bible study again. Praise God. Today we're back in our study on love, an in-depth study on love. Believe it or not, this is message number 48 in our series. We're kind of getting towards the end. If we get far enough today, we might be the last lesson. I never know for sure until the Lord tells me it's over. But I'm already starting on the next series. The title for today is Fret Not, Envy Not. Now, the reason I got the knot in the back is because that's the way the Bible says it. That's the way it lists the old King James language. But it means, in other words, do not fret and do not envy. A lot of people would say, well, what's that got to do with love? It's got everything to do with love because it's the opposite of love. It's what the enemy uses to draw you away from love, if he can draw you away from love, he can draw you away from your faith.
Amen.
If he can draw you away from your faith, then he's got an open door to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about fretting not and envying not. There's quite a bit in the Bible about that, more than you think there is. If you start a study on that and do some research, you'll find it goes from cover to cover. And there's a lot of examples on people who dealt with fretting and worrying and people who didn't and what happened to them. I came back last week for the first time in a couple of months, but I had the main service last week. And that message that we talked about last week was there is no fear. There is no fear in love. And that was actually message 47 in this series. So it's part of this series. This series actually started in May the 31st of 2020. So it's been well over a year. And praise God. When I started, I didn't think you'd have a lot. I thought it'd be a study. But the more I studied, the more it developed. The more it developed, the bigger it got, you know. It's just one of them things. So that's why we call it an in-depth study. I think that's what I was thinking on the way over here. That's sometimes a mistake we make. As human beings, we tend to categorize things. We tend to cut them up and divide them up in various categories, whatever it is. We do that. We take it apart, which is good for the purpose of study. It's good for a deeper understanding of that particular part of it. But everything is related to something else. It's okay to take it apart and categorize it, but don't forget to put it back together because there's a bigger picture. And that's what we do where love is concerned sometimes. We'll think just talking about loving as an action, and we don't go any further with it because we've categorized it. We'll talk about fear or worry or anger and these things as specific categories, but we don't put them back together to see how they're related and how they affect one another. Well, on an in-depth study, you take it apart in pieces, and then you look at how they're related to one another. And that's why we're studying envy and fretting tonight, this morning. It's because they're directly related to love, directly related whether you are going to walk in love or not. And therefore, it's directly related to how you respond in faith and how your faith works or whether it doesn't work. It's directly related to the success that you have in overcoming problems and issues in life. If you're going to allow fretting and envy to work in your life, you're not going to be able to overcome. You're just not going to. Because, as we'll see as we study here, it's directly related to fear and worry.
Yep.
And that's why it doesn't work. Why your faith and love doesn't work is because you're functioning in fear and worry. And you're choosing that. See, and that's where we make our mistake. So let's get started on our subject today. Fret not, or envy not. Love must be exercised to be developed. I said that last week. I'm tying this message into last week's. Love must be exercised to be developed. And we need to think about that a moment. Love must be exercised to be developed. Love is a person, God. He is love. But then there's he's the noun. But then there's the action that follows the love. God is love, and he has an action behind his love. It flows outward. We are born of love, to love, for love.
Amen.
He is our creator. He is the one that created us. He put his very own self into mankind. He breathed his own person, his own life, Genesis says, into this lump of clay called man. And he became a living being. So we are born of love, we're created by love, to love, for love. So that is who we are. The word says, as he is, so are we in this world. We are directly connected to love. That's our job. That's who we are. That's the creature that we are as well. Even by born, we separated from love when Adam fell, but when we get born again, we get reconnected.
Yes.
So we're even born again to love. That's what it means by, as he is, so are we in this world, in 1 John 4. We have to see ourselves that way. If we don't see ourselves as love creatures, we're not going to love.
That's right.
We got to see ourselves directly connected to God and his ways, and his ways becoming our ways. And we've studied that throughout this series. But when I say I am a love creature, then that means what? I'm loving.
Mm-hmm.
There's an action that follows the fact that I'm a love creature.
Amen.
God is a love being. He is love. So it stands to reason that he loves. If he's a love being, then that's all he's doing. He's not doing anything else. There is no fear in love. That was last week's message. As I said, this is tied to that. Love, fear cannot exist where genuine love exists.
Right.
They're totally incompatible. Fear can never overcome love. But it can function in the place of love where the person chooses it. Fear can function based on the person's choice. But if the person chooses to love, fear cannot keep him from loving. But love can keep fear from operating. You see the difference?
Right.
Love is a higher law because it's God himself. Love is not only a being, but it's a power, it's a presence, it's a force. It's the strongest force there is. There's nothing stronger.
Amen.
The Bible even says love never fails. It
and
cannot
love is
fail.
Stronger than death.
It's stronger than death. It is the force behind everything that exists. Love is the force. Fear is not. Fear functions in the carnal realm. It's a spiritual force, but it functions in the carnal or the natural realm.
A dead spirit.
It's a dead spirit. It functions in the realm of time. Love functions beyond time.
Eternity.
Love functions in eternity and time. It's a higher law, a much higher law than fear is. So fear can never overcome love. It can't do it. The person has to choose fear. The same person that chooses fear can also choose love.
Amen.
He has a right to do that. Right in the midst of fear, he can love anyways. And when he loves anyways, God's power and presence comes on that person, right in the middle of that fear and worry. He comes in and functions, and then that love overcomes the fear. The Amplified says it casts it out of doors. Cast it out. Because it can't function together. Light and darkness cannot function together. Love and fear cannot function together. Love overcomes fear. Light overcomes darkness. So we need to remember that. If I'm in the midst of a fear, what do I do about it? I start loving. I start grabbing a hold of the Word of God and love anyways. and fear will leave. It'll try to stay. It'll try to get you to move away from that love, move away from the word, but it can't force you to do it. You can choose to stay in love anyways, but most of us don't do that. We think fear is here, so I got to just go through this fear. Or we'll try to take a pill for it.
Or deal with it as you go.
And deal with it white knuckled and force our way through it. And that's not the way you deal with fear. You deal with fear walking in love. In your now moment. Fear will leave. It can't stay there. It has no way in. If I walk in love. But that's my choice. And it's a continuous choice. So that's the way I develop love. I exercise it. In my now moment. Exercise means I'm working it. I'm doing something with my love. Right in the middle of whatever problems I have, I'm loving anyways. I'm other-centered, not self-centered. That's the thing you have to be so aware of, is that if you are going to function in love, you can't be concerned about yourself.
That's right.
You have to go right on through anyways. You're thinking of other people. Your concern is other people, not yourself. And God takes care of your part. But as long as you're doing it, He has a hard time helping you. He'll help you where you can, where He can. He tries. He's always there. You got to give Him a door. Because you are a free choice being, He honors your choice. Even if you don't know, He tries to get you to know. But most of us don't take the time to find out. We just respond habitually. And that's where we make our mistake. Love must be exercised to be developed. If you don't exercise the love, it will not develop, even though it's present. Fear also develops as it is exercised. Worry or fretting, they're basically the same. Worry or fretting develops fear. So if I'm walking through my life and I'm worried, I'm fretting about everything, I'm responding to the circumstances with worry and fretting, I'm developing fear, not faith. But if I'm walking in love in the midst of that, I'm choosing love, then I'm developing love. I choose which develops in my life. God doesn't. He made it all available. He expects us to walk in love. That's why He said to Israel, He said, I place today before you life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. He expects us to be smart enough to choose life.
Amen.
He even told us what to choose. But He has to allow us to choose, because with the power of choice, we can go free. Without the power of choice, we can't. We are created as people with the ability to choose and the right to choose. Satan had the ability to choose, but not the right. And that's where he fell. The angels had the ability to choose, but not the right. Man's created with the ability to choose with the right. God gave us that right as human beings, as creatures called man. We have a right to choose. And therefore, that the same choice, we can choose fear or love. It's up to us which we choose. Totally up to us. I can't blame my neighbor. I can't blame it on my past. I can't blame it even on a chemical imbalance, even though that's kind of real. How did the chemical imbalance develop?
Right.
It developed because I practiced fear and worry. My brain manufactures chemicals based on what I think, based on what I do. It's a chemical factory. And if there's a chemical imbalance, why is it there? Well, I was born that way. No, you were not. No baby came in this world afraid. I might cry a little bit because it doesn't know what's going on. There's no input. It has nothing in it. It has to be put in there. It has to be implanted in the baby somehow. It's got to be put into the baby somehow. He becomes what the input is. And we develop those things without even realizing we're developing.
Right.
That's one of Satan's tactics. So we become what we choose. And if I'm in the middle of fear and worry, I can get out of there anytime I want to. It's work. The longer I practice fear and worry, the longer I practice envy, the longer I've developed it in my life, the longer it's going to take to get out of it. And that's not going to snap my finger and all of a sudden it's gone, because I've been responding habitually a certain way. Now I got to change my habits. How do you change a habit? You replace it with something. You can't just stop doing something. Whether it's losing weight or a diet or whatever, you can't just stop doing it. You're going to go right back to it. You've got to put something in its place. It's got to be something of a higher law that you can anchor yourself in to overcome what you've been doing. You have to develop a new habit. Now, I habitually love. In the beginning, it's hard, because your mental processes want to go that other way. Mm-hmm. It's habit. You just fall into it. But you have to recognize it, and you have to make the effort. God backs your effort. He increases your ability to do that. You make the choice. And your anchor is God's Word. So, remember, I am either developing fear or I'm developing love. I'm developing worry or I'm developing hope, my expectation. I choose that. And just because you start off in fear and worry doesn't mean you can't change it in midstream. You can. If you put your brakes on, turn your car around. Grab the hold of the Word of God and says, Father, I thank you, your Word says. And let that be your anchor. You got to say it 50 times in an hour or whatever it takes. You keep it coming out. Keep making that choice. You cannot fret and worry and walk in love at the same time. You need to know that. You cannot do both. You cannot walk in love over here and walk in fear and worry here. You're going to be changing based on your decisions. One or the other is going to develop. And that's up to you. They are exact opposites. Fretting or worry, envy and or jealousy work with and by fear. Fretting or worry, envy or jealousy work with and by fear. They work with fear and they work by fear. That's their power source. Faith and hope or expectation work by love.
Yeah.
It's the only way they'll work. I used this definition last week in the main service, but because these are tied together, I'm going to use it again today. Fretting, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is to be constantly or visibly worried or anxious. Mm. So it's something that you do just automatically. I've got this problem and it won't go away. You're worried. What are you doing with your faith concerning that? Well, I've talked to God about it, but you haven't applied your faith to it. You've been developing worry, so worry is getting bigger. So now it's developed into fear. Why? Because you believe it's going to happen. Your fear is faith in the thing to happen. Worry develops that. It takes the place of hope. And you're busy doing it. Satan's giving you little ideas. People are helping you with that worry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to your library of past history that you set there. And you're using that to develop your fear and worry. And you're basing it on something that's in the rock of time. But it's not in your now moment. You can change that. But only in your now. So if right in the middle of that you're practicing fear and worry, start practicing faith and hope and love. Go to the Bible. Use it as an anchor. Well, I don't have anything to base it on. You got the Word to base it on. That's stronger than your past. But you have to make a choice. You have to put something in it in the place of fear and worry. God expects us to rest. These are the synonyms or the words that are the same as or closely related to fretting. The synonyms are worry, anxious, feel uneasy, be disturbed, be upset, upset oneself, concern oneself, feel unhappy, agonize, anguish, sorrow, sighing, pining, brooding, moping, fussing, make a fuss, complaining, grumbling, whining, eating one's heart out, stewing, feeling peeved. Now, if you ever function in any of those areas, you're doing the same thing as fretting and worrying. And what are you developing? You're developing fear. Don't be surprised when it shows up, because it's there already. You're busy developing it. Don't do that. Envy basically is jealousy. There's a slight difference between the two based on what it's aimed at. I can envy somebody's car or be jealous because they have a better car than I do. That's where envy and jealousy work together. But if in a relationship, it's slightly different. Jealousy is more involved there if I'm related to the person, if that's my wife or my husband. Jealousy becomes the dominant factor there. On the other party that's not related, envy might work there. So there's a very slight difference between the two. But basically, when you're talking about envy, you're talking about jealousy or covetousness.
Yeah.
And what does it say about that? It's a commandment, isn't it? Do not covet. Or desire something that's not yours. Why? Because God's got something better for you. It's not better for the other person because that's theirs. But what he's got for you is better for you. He already knows what's good for you. He's taking care of you. He's meeting your needs. He's the one that you should be looking to. If you're busy envying the other person, what are you doing? You're self-centered. You're selfish. You're developing envy, which develops fear and worry also. You're focusing on something that's somebody else's. It's not yours. You're supposed to be using your faith and your ability to walk in love, your faith, your trust, your hope, to latch in or tap into God's provision for you. You're supposed to be spiritually minded, other-centered, not self-centered. If you're walking in love, you're never self-centered. Yourself is way down on the lower on the list because God's taking care of you. You'll go anyways. It's sad to say for many, even born-again, Bible-believing people, fretting, worry, envy, and jealousy are a habitual lifestyle. It's just, they do it. They don't even have to think about it. That's what, something's a habit. It just is there. Our habitual lifestyle is supposed to be love, faith, and peace. That's supposed to be our lifestyle. What we walk in as a habit. It's supposed to be hard for us to get into envy, fear, and worry. Because we so habitually walk in love that it can't get in.
It's not a temptation too much.
It's not a temptation. Because I habitually love. I know my Father and I are one. I know he loves me. I know he meets all of my needs. Not some of them, all of my needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In the perfect time frame. And I know that as I walk in love, as I do what he says to do because I love, then the process is always working to develop whatever I need. I don't have to walk in fear and worry, no matter what the circumstance is, because he loves me, and I've set my love upon him. And I walk in it habitually. Philippians 4, verse 6, I used this last week, but I didn't. It was the end of the service, so I didn't get very far in it. Do not. Okay, what's that mean? Whatever you say, do not. What is that? It's a commandment. Mm-hmm. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that I have to think about doing. It's no choice here. Well, there is a choice, but I take my choice out of it because God said, do not. So don't do this. Do not fret. We talked about what that is, same as worry. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. How much does anything cover?
Everything.
Pretty much anything that you do. So, and you look at your life right now where it is, what are you fretting about? What are you worried about? You shouldn't be. But you don't understand. I do understand. I understand because I've done some of it myself. But I know when it says anything, it means no matter what, how big that problem is that you're concerned about, you don't have to be. You're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be dealing with that problem with the Word of God. You're supposed to be standing on His Word. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything but. A but means this is what you're supposed to be doing instead of that. In every. Every means how many?
Every.
Doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is. Every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Continue. This is a continuous action, something you're continuously doing. You have a constant communication with God. But notice the word thanksgiving. Most people don't even know why it's there. They don't even think about it. But that's one of the most powerful words in that entire verse. Why? Because when you thank someone for something, it's because you've received it. I don't see it. It's not in my hand. But the word says. Because God said it, God's word says it, I have it. I made the petition to God as a definite request. That means I take the verse that it's talking about and I declare it along with the request. I'm not talking God into anything. We try to talk Him into doing something. He's already done it.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to tap into it, to what He's done, and receive it. When I thank someone for something, I've received it. And that's why the thanksgiving is in there along with the definite petition and the prayer. Prayer is communion with God. That's what it is. It's a two-way street. You make your request, He answers back. He makes a request, you answer back. Do you know He's making requests of you?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be answering back.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that. We're more interested in our request, not His. But it's a two-way street. That's what covenant is. He has a right to say, Michael, I want you to go over there and talk to that person. Oh, but Lord, I really don't have time. I'm really late for work. I want you to go over there and talk to that person. He knows all of that. He wants you to go over and talk to that person. There's a reason. And He doesn't have to tell you the reason. If He did, you wouldn't go. But He wants you to go. He has a right to make that request because it's a covenant. And I am supposed to answer the way He answers. And if I'm quick to respond to His request, He's even quicker to respond to mine because
Amen.
I've opened the door.
Amen.
He wants to respond to my request.
Can I share something about Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to, but I feel like it would be something that we could understand. Many years ago, I was in church. It was like prayer meeting or something. There wasn't a lot going on. And I had kind of what you might call an open vision or something like that. And I saw this stream going through the woods, kind of like the Little Piney or something. It was just this very large creek, not a river, but a good-sized creek. And it was frozen over solid. It was completely frozen over. There was no visible water anywhere. And I just felt in my heart I needed to thank God for letting me see this, whatever was going to happen there, if anything. And when I said, thank you, Lord, an angel appeared. And he had this great big pickaxe, and he started whacking that ice. And every time I said thank you, another angel appeared. And they just kept, an angel here, they kept popping up, and they kept whacking that ice with that big pickaxe every time I said thank you, Lord. And I began to just watch to see what was going to happen. Well, every time I said thank you, they broke that ice. And once they all got, I mean, there's 40 or 50 of them, was all banging and hacking on that big ice cover, the water began to flow.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed that was the point of it, was if I have a thankful heart, mm-hmm. it'll flow.
Yes,
the things I need will flow. I won't be all frozen over and hard where I can't get to what I need and God can't answer me.
Yes.
When I'm grateful, the angels are working for me.
Yes, they are.
To break up, you know, anything that's holding up that flow.
You're thankful.
Huh?
Rivers of living.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and it's all my needs and anything else that I need. If I'm thankful about it, it gives him the ability and opportunity to get things to flow in my life,
yes.
the things that I need.
Thanksgiving and love are related.
Yeah.
I'm thankful to my Father because I know He loves me.
Amen.
If you don't have anything else to thank God for, do that.
Thanks for life.
And watch how other doors open
as
you do that. Because I don't care who you are or what you've done, God loves you.
Amen.
You can't do enough to where He doesn't. And that's exactly what happens. Every time I thank Him, I'm thanking Him for something. I'm thanking Him for His provision. You don't just experiment. This is the way God used me, like Mommy shows in different ways. He showed me this guy standing on the street, and this other guy walks up and just says, thank you. They don't know each other. They never saw anybody before. They never had any contact. But he doesn't say hi. He doesn't say anything. He just walks up and says, thank you. What's the automatic response from the other person? What for? Even carnal people, even people that don't know God, understand thank you means I've done something for you. I've given you something. Something has exchanged here between the two of us. And you say thank you and you didn't say anything else. I don't even know who you are. I've never seen you before. But it's embedded in our thinking. When I thank you for something, I've received something. And I don't thank you until I have received it. So that's why that word right there is vital in that scripture. When you're dealing with anything, have a thankful heart.
Yeah.
Make it something that you live by. Make it something that you have. Yes, thank you for the meal, but thank you for everything. This major bill comes along, and I've had one recently, $45,000. Thank God it paid. You know, God paid it.
Yeah.
Praise God. And I know He did. But whether it's $45,000 or $2 or a car broke down or whatever it is, needing a job, don't wait till till it happens. That's fine to thank you then. But it's not faith related then. But when you thank Him and you don't physically have it in your hands, you open the door for it to get to your hands.
Amen.
That's the doorway. That's the thing. I already know I believe I receive because God's Word says. And I can base that on 1 John 5:14-15. I can base it on Mark 11:23. There's scripture after scripture after scripture where Jesus said, when you pray, believe you receive. That's thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I believe I receive. 1 John 5:14-15 talks about making a request, like it says here, of God, knowing that He heard you, because it's His will. That's why it's important to find it in the Bible, what it says, because it is His will. And then it says, if it is His will, you know that He heard you, that He heard you. And if you know that He heard you, you know that you have the petition that you've requested.
Amen.
Because you know He heard you. He's trying to get it to you, not keep it from you. So remember that word thanksgiving there. And then verse 7 here, I'm about out of time. Do not fret. I'm going to start back again because I want to connect the two. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Now, do you keep asking Him for it? No. You thank Him for that. Every time you mention it now, your concern has changed. Now, you started with a request that you didn't have an answer for. You made the petition, and when you granted thanksgiving, you thanked Him for it, you received it. Now you continue. Every time you think about it, you start thanking God for the answer. Father, I thank You. Your Word says that You meet all of my needs. This is a definite need. I cast the care upon You because You love me and You care for me and You provided for me. So I thank You, Lord, that You're meeting this need.
Amen.
Now what happened to your fear, worry, and concern on that plate? That thing you were worried about? Not there anymore. Because you based it, you're receiving on what the Word says. You know God's not a liar. He said it. You've received it. I'm thankful for it. I don't know when it's going to be physically here, but I know the process has begun.
Amen.
I know that it's working. And I'm going to continue to thank God for it. Don't ever stop thanking God, even after you receive it in the natural. Now, verse 7, and God's peace, if you do that, and God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What's a garrison? The fort, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's something keeping fear and worry and doubt out. Garrison and mount guard. So it's not only got the fort there, but there's someone manning the guard post. They're mounting guard. Praise God, that's exciting. Because I've received. He's protecting me.
Amen.
As long as I'm thankful. The Bible even tells us what we are to be thinking about or meditating on. Instead of fretting, worry, envy, or jealousy. And that's verse 8 of Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, this is what we're supposed to be thinking on instead of the fear and worry and all the other stuff that we've been meditating on. Another way that we develop our faith, it's another way we develop our love. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things or think on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. I choose what I think on.
Amen.
And either peace and rest in God and His Word follow that, or fear and worry follow that. If I think on these things, and there's always something to be thankful for.
Amen.
Always. Even if it's only the fact that He loves you. No matter how dark it is, there's always something. You have to train yourself that you're not going to be thinking on the problem. You're going to be thinking on the answer. And God's Word and love is always the answer.
Amen.
Whatever that is, it flows from there. In Proverbs 14:30, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness to the bones. So what's it telling us there? This is going to affect your health.
Yeah.
It's going to affect how your body functions. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are life and health of the body. These are the life and health of the body. So when I'm walking in peace, when I'm walking in love, when I'm not worried, I control the worry, I control the fear, I control the envy and all of that, I walk in love by choice, it starts affecting my body with health. Again, because my brain is manufacturing a different chemical. That affects my whole body. It affects everything about me. It affects the rest that I have as I walk through life. I will avoid so many problems and issues because I'm allowing the peace to, and the rest of God to live in my life. But envy, jealousy, and wrath or strife are rot like rottenness to the bones. Why? Again, because your brain is manufacturing a different chemical. So it affects your health. That's been true. It's not because I say it. Science has proved that. Whatever you think on, that becomes a condition of your body. Even right down to the tears. A few years ago, I saw an article where science has actually tested the chemical makeup of tears. They've gauged happy, joyful tears against those that are worried and fearful and angry.
Sad.
Makeup was different. The tears were different. The actual chemical makeup. And that alone proves that there's a different chemical reaction based on fear and worry, joy, peace, and love. We think differently, so we manufacture the other chemicals. And that affects our body. Yeah, there's a chemical imbalance there. If you're focusing on fear and worry and that's all you think about, and you meditate on your problems all the time, there's going to be a chemical imbalance. Things that your body don't want. We're not meant to live that way. We're not built that way. We're built to walk in love and peace. That's our natural state of being, how we're supposed to respond. But if we're doing something other than that, it's going to be detrimental to our health. So think about it. I'm going to quit here in a minute. Get as far as I can because I don't know about next week yet. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus talked about worry and anxiety. And here he said, and he dealt with it with the common everyday things in life. But if you're supposed to not do it with the common everyday things of life, what about the things that are problems? And I like the way Jesus put it here. It says, therefore, do not worry or be anxious, saying. Notice the word saying.
Saying.
Do not worry or be anxious, saying. What happens when you get, when problems come your way and it's been something you've been dealing with? You're going to talk about it. Somebody's going to say, well, how are you doing? Not very well. You know what they did to me? What just happened there? Mm-hmm. You switched over to carnal and you walked right into fear and worry and now you're spreading it to somebody else.
Yeah. Wow.
That's why Jesus said, therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? Or the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you have need of them. So if I'm not going to do that, verse 33 tells us what we're supposed to do instead of that. He never tells you to do something without telling you what to do instead of that.
Yeah.
The word but starts verse 33 again, or instead of that. But seek, aim at, and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then, when I do that, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. The now moment. The now moment we're talking about. The now moment. Sufficient for today.
It's really kind of simple.
It is.
Except we make it high.
Exactly.
We don't know if we really believe that.
Well, we better start believing it. Because it's
the truth. I know, deep in our hearts, that's what we're saying. Oh, yeah, amen, hallelujah. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't know what I'm dealing with.
As far as Monday.
Oh, I got to figure this thing out, you know. No, you don't. I can guarantee you something will happen to fix it. And even if it doesn't, there's something better waiting for you. So maybe that thing never gets fixed, but God has something better for you.
See, that's the part thing you have to remember.
Amen.
And see, that better thing you don't know about.
It's higher than we can ask or think.
Yeah, you don't know about that. So I love the way Jesus put this, but if he's relating it to the simple things like clothing and food, how much more should we be doing that where the big things are concerned? Notice it says, but seek. That means aim at and strive after. Means I'm working on it.
Yeah.
His kingdom is love, joy, peace. That's his kingdom. And it's inside of us. One more here, because I can't do the next one after that. Mark 4:19 ties directly to what Jesus said. And I don't have time to go through Mark 4, the whole thing, but it's the sower sows the seed. So I'm going to focus on what on verse 19, because it's directly related to fear and envy and what we're talking about. So then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and the light and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. It was fruitful. What happened to it? I started seeking those things. I did that. I started looking at the cares and anxieties. I started walking in fear, worry, and envy. Envy is related here because the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, you envy that other person. Having the money, having everything done. You never do that. The word says in the next verse we're going to read, we're not going to read it today, but it says that it's as the grass, it will wither and die. It's short-lived. Don't judge your life based on what others have or have not.
Amen.
You deal with your faith, your life, your trust, and allow God to take care of those things where you're concerned. It's amazing when you get those, there's no such thing as a suddenly, but when you get those sudden blessings that are sudden to you, that have been working all the time because you've been faithful, when they show up, and it puts a shake in your step.
Mm-hmm.
And I was believing God for that $45,000 because the insurance company said that they're not going to pay anything. That was not necessary. Well, it was necessary.
Yeah.
So I'm facing $45,000. I think I'm going to have to mortgage my house again because it paid off. And I'm thinking, well, maybe if they even do 50%. See, I knew God was going to deal with it. And we talked about it. We prayed. We confessed it daily, knowing that God was going to deal with it. We just didn't know how, because we were looking at our limits. You know, but knowing fully that God was going to meet the need. That's casting the care over on him. So it's a continuous action that you got to do. But then after 2 months, we got this letter, and it said, paid. Then at the end, your part, instead of $45,000, was $1,425.
Wow.
Praise God. That's what
that's back pocket.
Her sister was there when she handed it to me, and I was from Colorado, and I shouted, praise God! You know, just loud as I could. I was okay with 80% them paying and me paying 20, because that's normally what happens. But all they paid everything.
Amen.
Except my deductible and a little copay.
God, praise God.
Had God did that.
Amen.
I know he did it.
I think the thing that stuck out in my head the most is today is, it hit me like a ton of bricks, how you can put your fear and envy and worry onto somebody else.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes, yes. And we don't know we're doing
that.
Feeds
that on them because they might be a fearful person too.
Yeah.
And always looking for the dark side.
And then who are you? They know you're a Christian.
Yeah.
They know you're a word person and love God. What have you just told them?
Yeah, you just told them to worry and fear and envy.
And I'll tell you something about envy and jealousy. It will eat at your insides.
Yes, it will.
It will.
It will destroy your relationship.
That's why we got to have one another.
And shame the, tell the truth and shame the devil. Mm-hmm. This happened to me within the last couple of weeks. I was envious of something that somebody got. And as soon as I got to the house, I knew it was wrong when I said it. And it ate at me until I got to see this person again. I had to apologize because it ate at me until I apologized. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What
I said. Don't ever be envious or jealous of somebody because it will eat away at you.
It will. Mm-hmm. That's its purpose. God didn't create it. Satan put
it's
it there. And it's meant to pull you away.
Yeah.
And destroy.
That's what it's meant. We're going to talk about that part next week.
I have a tendency to write verses out and hang them on my wall. I'm going to do this because, like I said before, I have a problem with fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I grew up with fear.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. usually the way it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of this I'm going to write out and put on my wall.
Good idea.
Yeah.
And
amen.
Then I can
amen.
Them up on my study.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Grab those scriptures that we use. If you want them again, I'll give them to you. But grab those scriptures and put them out where you can see them, meditate on it, think about it, and use those as anchors.
Yeah.
For you when that happens.
Because once that gets into my head, I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. That's usually the way it is.
Yeah.
It's a habit.
Yep.
My mom was one that had a lot of fear and worry. So I grew up with it too, thinking that's the way it is. So it took a while, and I still, you will never not deal with it.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus says here when he talks about, when it says, saying, backed up here, therefore do not worry or be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? The mind's going to, because it's habitual, and it's in the world around us, the mind's going to register a little bit on this is a problem.
Yeah.
And the tendency is to start thinking about it. He's not denying you're not going to think about it. Don't speak it.
Yeah.
Right.
Speak the word instead.
Mm-hmm.
Take the word and declare it instead. Because that will override your thinking.
Yes. Amen.
And that comes from the heart.
Amen.
And that's the real you. I got to shut up now.
Okay.
Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for teaching us. We need this so much. Thank you for revealing these things to us that we can grab a hold and change things in our lives and those around us. That people will start, instead of seeing a worried, fearful Christian and thinking that that person is just like everybody else, and what I want Jesus for. But let him see a person that walks in faith and not in fear and worry. A person that walks in love anyways. They see a person that's not concerned about those issues. And then let them see the miracle of provision that
yes,
you provide.
Lord. Thank you.
That they have a hope and that they can see something and reach out to and say, hey, this is real. I know where they were at. And I know where they are now. They love Jesus.
Thank you.
And we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank
Praise you.
You.